All right. All right, so let's get out of there. 11:45, we'll call the commission meeting to order for Wednesday, December 21st, 2022. Before we get started, I wanted to check, make sure that Mr. Scott, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good morning, everybody.
Perfect. Good morning. All right, let's stand for the pledge.
I pledge my allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No, say amen.
Hallelujah. All right. Is there any requests for changes or additions to the presented agenda today? All right, hearing none, we'll move into the approval of the consent agenda, which includes the minutes from the December 12th utilities meeting and the review and approval of the bill payments in the amount of just over $2.1 million.
Move to approve.
All right, first and a second. All right, is there any questions that anyone has regarding the bill payments? Anything that needs to be pointed out? To remind your hand?
Well, Commissioner Erickson, there's no unusual bills there. Our capital project, as you can see, our water treatment plant's going, is there's payments there. We got some transmission substation payments there, but nothing unusual.
Perfect. All right, any other questions? No, hearing none, we'll go into roll call.
Certainly. Commissioner Kennedy?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. Moving into item number four, we have the 2023 electric utility reporting on distribution generation from staff electrical engineer Jan Smith.
Thanks, Commissioner Erickson. So this is an annual report required by the state of Minnesota. So if you've been here with us in prior years, you've already seen something very similar. There's a brief description of each of the different schedules that are in this report, in this memo. I'll let you read that, but what I do want to point out is at the bottom of that, Missouri River Energy Services has prepared schedules A, B, and G on our behalf. It's heavily related to the power supply and rates, and they have designated some of those portions trade secret, and so it's confidential, and that is allowed pursuant Minnesota Statute 13.37. So I hadn't planned to really go through this page by page, but I do want to highlight the PDF page 10. It's Schedule H. It's also page 8 of 8 if you're looking at the page numbers on the bottom. But it's the wholesale power rates. And in that, you can see that our purpose standard rate is 4.4 cents per kilowatt hour for the year 2023. So that is the amount that we will buy back from our solar customers when they generate more than they consume in a billing period, a one-month billing period. So that's helpful information for our customers to know when they're thinking about solar, you know, calculating the return on investment and that type of thing. Other than that, it's got the interconnection agreement and other information there. We also do publish all of this on our website, so they can get to that pretty easily. Any questions?
Is there anything in all of those that you've changed? A lot or not much?
Yeah, so the agreements are very similar to last year. I think it's only that PURPA rate that we've changed from last year, but a lot of those other schedules that Missouri River Energy fills out, those do change. It's based on their cost of power and their projections for the coming years based on, you know, how much load they expect their members to have. So those do change each year.
I guess to expand on Mr. Lahmer's questions, but the what is being reported on that hasn't changed. It's, I mean, the data has, but
yes, the requirements have remained the same.
Same.
Okay. But yeah, the information presented is more current.
Yep. Okay.
I had a question. On your I'll say page 2 of 8, it has the 2023 to 2027 rates. I see from 2023 to 2026, it goes down, and then in 2027, it goes up. Do you have any comments to that?
I could take a guess, but maybe John has a better explanation.
Thank you, Jared. I don't have the details of the rate, but based on projections from Missouri River staff when they're looking at rates and the need to increase rates, there's more than likely an increase coming in 2027, and that's, I'm guessing, what this reflects. And the other piece that is in here, I don't know the details either, but they are going to start providing Wilmer more power in 2025, so when they dilute their costs out, they're selling more energy basically, with their overhead remaining the same. So I would venture to guess that some of the reduction that you see there has to do with MRES picking up an additional 20 megawatts. I believe their contract with GRE is 20 megawatts, and that expires in 2024. So,
does that answer your question? Would you like us to follow up on that?
No, that's fine.
Actually, Jared, if I can expand on that a little further. If you look down that row, say 25 to 26, the top number is down, second number is about flat, third number is just slightly down. As you go down, each one of those, I'll call it time of use rates, drop slightly. But there's not a lot of difference when you look down it. So, as Jaron said, if you want to, we can follow up. But there's not a lot of change. And I do know that in 2027, when I'm at the board meetings, they're talking about the need to potentially, based on the data they have today, to have a rate increase. So,
all right, any other questions?
No.
Thank you.
All right. Item number five, I'll turn it over to General Manager Herron on the consideration to extend our government relations contract with Jacobson Law Group.
Thank you, Commissioner Erickson. Commissioner Erickson, Commissioner Lamar, myself just came from a meeting with Representative Baker, Senator Lang, to talk about funding or the potential of receiving bonding dollars for our water treatment plant. If you recall, we've been working on funding, bonding, both federal and state level, for a number of years, and we elected to move forward with our plant because we were out of capacity in the community, and the likelihood of receiving bonding dollars looked fairly slim. However, we all know how last year's legislative session turned out. They did not approve any projects, they did not do a bonding bill, and they have a huge surplus. So we're looking at and asking for consideration, and that's what our meeting was with Representative Baker, Senator Lang. Should we? Does it make sense? Is there a potential that we could maybe get some of those dollars? They felt very strong that it's worthwhile still pursuing. So our next question was to them, is it beneficial to retain a lobbyist to help with that effort? And of course, there's mixed opinions whether we should or shouldn't, but they felt that it might be beneficial to have a lobbyist there. So the outcome of our meeting, and Commissioner Erickson, Cole Ramings chime in here, but the three of us met after the meeting a little bit to talk through what we should recommend here today, and our thoughts were that we should recommend retaining the services, but not at $20,000. That we go back and negotiate offer a $10,000 contract to them, see if they accept it. At most, I believe the number we settled on was 12, and along with requiring the late Jacobson Law Group in Appendix A, where they talk about number six, regularly update analysis on policymakers' attitude towards the issues impacting the city of Wilmer, municipal utilities, et cetera, that they provide us a weekly update on who they visited with and the pulse of that conversation. So with that said, Commissioner Erickson, Commissioner Lamar, anything you want to add to our discussion with Baker and Ryan here this morning or the recommendation?
No, not really. I mean, we've discussed every point should we or shouldn't we, we'll get a benefit from it and all of that type of thing. And we've said what we thought too was reasonable is to cut it down a little bit on what he wants. Or they want, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I don't think I have anything to add to what you had said, you know, that we are kind of in agreement of either, yeah, we cut it down or just kind of go away with it based on some guidance that we received and just overall what it maybe entails, what his services would even entail if we were to retain him. So I don't know if there's any questions from other commissioners or kind of what your thoughts are.
I'm not going to be very positive in this festive season. I've grown very cynical of the lobbying efforts that we've had in light of how partisan politics have been in this, and for all the reasons that you've said of having this enormous surplus and the inability to act. I think Wilmer is a victim of partisan politics, and I wanted to know if putting this money is good money after bad, because I really don't see any benefit at this point anymore about lobbying in this environment, because there should have been efforts. We should have seen the fruits of our labor and the money we invested in it. So if you want to do it at a diminished amount, that would be the best I would support. I would rather see nothing moving into this any longer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Just that one question.
Yes. Councilman O'Brien.
There was a mention of there has to be some sort of a record of who they contacted, conversations. Has this been in the past as well, or is this something that you're asking for and something new?
Councilman O'Brien, in the past it provided, but it was fairly vague. So if we do go forward, our discussion was we want a detailed who you talk to and the pulse of that conversation if we're going to enter into a contract. Our meeting today, we went probably around in a circle, what, maybe four times? Yeah, we should. No, we shouldn't. Yeah, we should at today's meeting. Yeah, it's hard to quantify the value of the lobbying. So, you know, Baker Lang will work with us. Either way, they said we should just let them know where we go, because if we hire a lobbyist, there's certain things they will let in the hands of the lobbyist. If we don't hire a lobbyist, then there's certain things they need to do. So, Cole.
I have another. Yes. We've already talked about financing this internally. What kind of numbers would we need to see where we would consider doing normal bonding and not doing it internally?
Commissioner Muskie, good question. Right now we are looking at funding this project with the water fund dollars along with $5 to $7 million out of the electrical fund over a course of 4 years. Now, after we made that decision, the generation project came up here. So we talked about the potential need to bond for that $5 to $7 million. So that study should be back middle of January, I believe we have the completion date in it. So middle of January we should have the report back from DGR when we make a decision whether we're going to move forward with generation or not. If we move forward with generation, we are going to have to bond. If we don't move forward with generation, it still might be advantageous for us to bond for that $5-7 million based on the maturity of our investments. And when we look at it, the number that we've talked about in the past, it was going to be 25 to 30 basis points is what it was going to cost us to hire Baker Tilly to do a local, to prepare the bond and sell it locally versus a public sale of bond, private placement it's referred to as. So if there's bonding dollars received from the state, we have an additional challenge that we got to be aware of. And we talked about that this morning as well with Baker and Lang. We pulled, if you recall, we pulled like the Bacon-Davis Wage Act out of there. We pulled out Buy American, Build American, American Steel. All that was pulled out, which contributed $2 to $3 million savings. So our conversation was with Baker that if we receive some of this money, we need exemptions there from the criteria, or we need additional dollars so we can go back to the contractor and negotiate for the remainder of the project that criteria on what's remaining back into the project, and we'd be at the mercy of the contractor. So what does that look like? What's the savings? What's it going to cost us if we do that? Depending on where we are with the project, when this takes place, we could be, based on the engineer's estimate, going into it, $2 million, going back to the contractor in the middle of the project. Even though the part of the project's done, it could be something greater than $2 million yet. So our preference would be to have an exemption to the dollars received, if we received any. And that has been done in the past, from what I've been told by Baker Lang, Reed LeBoux, that's the gentleman here with this agreement, as well as Tim Corby, that has been in the past, exemptions given. So will it cost us something more if we receive bonding dollars? Yes, the potential exists. And a conversation that we had here this morning, I indicated to Baker and Lang that the minimum would be $10 million if we want to reduce the impact on our rates. And if we can't get the exemptions, then you might as well add another $4 to $5 million to that number. So, good question, though.
To me, it's the heart of the question. A lobbyist, do they lobby exemptions typically?
Yes, they would work with us on that. In fact, when I was talking to Reed this morning on his contract, because Reed called this morning and was wondering, what we were with giving consideration to his contract. And I asked him that. I said, Reed, I said, in this Exhibit A in your contract, do we need to note that is one of your lobbying efforts here, that we want that exemption? And of course his answer to me was, well, no, we just know we need to do that. But if we go back there, that will be in here. But if we're not interested in doing it, it's no use I spend more time negotiating a contract with him. So, but if we do move forward with it, well, I will further have that discussion.
Commissioner Lammer.
Just one more contact that, about that lobbyist contract. I was surprised the detail and how it goes back and forth. But the one thing that was stated this morning, if we did, and they both agreed to lower the amount regardless, that the lobbyist firm that we're looking at using works well with the unions, the pipe fitters and all of those, and that becomes a point as well going forward if we have the exemptions and that type of thing. You have to make note of that. And if we don't, we're going to be in trouble with the unions, and they can make a difference on how it gets voted at legislation.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that. I probably should have, but I just didn't know that plays into it, that not only do they lobby the legislators, but different areas like that, especially unions, and especially this kind of a project.
Yeah. it's politics at its finest. I mean, you go after the exemption and the unions come into play and fight the dollars going to this project, and yeah.
So do we have a union contractor?
I don't know if the Acres crew is union or not. We never had to ask that question because we don't have any of the requirements to meet.
So and I guess another question would be: is how has the contractor worked with these exemptions before? Because sometimes if you throw something like that at a contractor and it's an unknown, you're going to pay the price as well.
Yeah. I would believe as big as Girder is and as many projects as they completed, that is nothing new to them. But, that would need a discussion or conversation we would have to have.
And what are the chances, and this is a million-dollar question too, but what are the chances we would get $10 to $14 million?
Yeah.
That's the tough
one. Do you understand the word money?
Is this specifically for the new well, or is this, you said the treatment, is this for both of those, like the water treatment, the initial, the salt consistency, or is it?
Commissioner Kenny, no, good, excellent question. The bonding dollars that we're requesting would offset the cost of our water treatment plant that is currently under construction.
Okay. Yep.
So I think as it's presented, you know, we kind of landed on going back and negotiating at $10,000 and or nothing. And so I don't know if the commission would want to, we have different points and we're unsure, but is there kind of a general consensus? I mean, it will include a roll call, you know, a resolution. But if that sounds reasonable, I mean, to just leave it up to General Manager Herron to negotiate up to the $10,000, and if Jacobson Law Firm says no, that it's zero, and we go without a lobbyist, or if there's some other proposal that someone would like to
expand on Commissioner Erickson's comment, you know, we threw out their $10,000, but to Commissioner Muskie's point, de minimis, if we want to start at 5 and end at 10, and if they don't want to do it for that, we won't hire a lobbyist. I'm neutral whether we hire one or not.
And I think to that point, as we talked earlier, is that session will start soon, and so by the time that we negotiate, how much time do we have to sit and go back and forth and negotiate with them before they get tied up in other things? You know, I think we want to get that ball rolling earlier. I guess another aspect to take into consideration. But
at the current $10,000, right, in our project, being we're asking to try and get like $14 million. If we invest $10,000 as lobbyists and we get nothing, will that increase rates for Wilma residents at all?
Commissioner King, that's a good question. You're going to want to define a rate increase. Add a dollar to our costs, gets passed on to the ratepayers. So, you know, the short answer is yeah, every dollar we spend gets built into our rates. I mean, that's where the money comes from to pay this out, would be the ratepayers. So, yeah.
Was the $20,000 budgeted?
We did not budget for lobbying services for this year. That would be applied against our project costs is where it would go, but we got contingency in our project costs. But as far as an O&M line, no, we did not budget an O&M, so it would be applied against a contingency fund in our water treatment plant project.
Would you just say if they said $10,000, that would be good, and we'd go for it, versus they say no, we have to have $15,000, and we say no, we don't need to then. I'm just wondering if they do that much work and would get the exemptions through, and what we have to do, I could see it would be worth the money, but if that doesn't happen, the exemptions that we need to get the money, then it would be money out the window, sort of. But on the other hand, if they have those exemptions and have good working relationships with the unions, would that make a difference? Spin a coin, I guess.
Commissioner Muskie.
I think that's a great point, but then I would say you have to have the money first, which I already think is going to be virtually impossible. But if you got the money, then you would talk about the exemptions actually after you had the money. And so if you wanted to say $5,000, get the money. If you get the money, then you deal with the exemptions, and then the other five in there. That makes more sense to me instead of $10,000 for them to stick wherever they want to. But again, I've grown very cold and sour on this
point. And unfortunately, they cannot be paid off of It's off of performance.
I understand.
Get the bonus.
So, right. I don't know where I'm going to land, but...
Because that's the same thing we talked about. If only we could just, you know, have some sort of bonusing structure.
Right.
But we, unfortunately, you know, it's not allowed.
When Reed contacted us here maybe 2 weeks ago, that was my initial response to Reed. I said, Reed, if you want me to take a contract to the commission for consideration, I want it based on results. We pay you on results. He got back to us and said, a statute prohibits me from working on commission based on results. So I was not aware of that. That's why I proposed that to him.
Councilman O'Brien.
If you don't have a lobbyist, who is the person or persons that are going to promote what you're looking for?
So, as it was presented to us this morning, you know, that's a great question. You know, it's close to the heart for both Representative Baker and Senator Lang. You know, that they know it, they want it. And they're pushing for it, you know, and I know Representative Erdahl is the lead of the, I can't remember the committee, but the investment committee, essentially. And so we do have people there fighting for us already, you know, and I think as it's been drafted in the past or as it's been redrafted this year, the bill, the only changes that kind of would come into play is how much the dollar amount and then whether or not we include the language for the exemption. And so that's that side, but there's a whole nother majority that, you know, that we haven't spoke with because they're not our representatives in, you know, specifically to our district. And so there's some value there that they could lobby that side, but again, they said no last time, and it's essentially going to be the same bill this time. So it's, I don't know.
I have another question.
Mr. Baumgart.
So what if we only got $2 million? Is it worth it?
Commissioner Baumgart.
That is kind of your bottom.
Excellent question, Commissioner Baumgart. In order to accept it, we have to have at least $10 million. And the reason that is because going to the contractor, once they have the contract, we got to negotiate that $2 to $3 is going to be $2 to $3, if not $4 million. That leaves us with a $6 million benefit. You know, I don't want to make it sound like $6 million isn't much, but in the scope of things and the fight and the battle that we've had so far, it's like, okay, if we can't at least get that out of it, then why try for anything? Mm-hmm. You know, the odds of getting 10 are it's going to be the same as going after 5. You know, if we get 5, we'll get 10 if we go after it. And we get 5 is a wash.
Mm-hmm. So I think where I stand is that since this would be the second time that we've retained him and we're relatively new to working with him, and you know, but knowing that he has the potential to work with the unions and the other side of the aisle and drafting the language for exemptions, things that he's seen, I'm in the camp of it's either the 10 or less. Or nothing. And so that's kind of where I stand, is that I think that at least, you know, for that 10,000 and then the having the weekly updates of what we're doing, that, you know, so let's say we spend 10 this year and he doesn't produce, but at least we have an idea, or at least if he does produce, we have an idea that way. But moving forward, if there another time comes up that we just have some sort of basis of understanding of what he's been doing. So I think either way it can have some benefit. Is that worth $10,000? I don't know, but for sure. But that's where I'm going to leave it, is that I would suggest capping it there and either doing an all or nothing and just leaving it at, rather than negotiating over $2,000 in that last little bit, you know, on whether it's 5 or 7 or 10, just either an all or nothing. But I'm essentially looking for a vote. Go ahead.
Do we see results in the last time we...
Commissioner Kennedy. Yes, well, it was very vague. I mean, it was, yeah, reached out to XYZ, you know, not a lot of details, not, you know, really didn't provide written pulse on those that he talked to. It was just, yes, out promoting, made visits, you know, yeah, everybody's supportive, really vague.
Was that, as far as the lobbying item, was it the same, the bonding bill for
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So just
actually, the bonding bill that we have here, Reed crafted it, if you recall
okay.
what that looked like there. Otherwise, I can send it to you. But yeah, we needed, we had a bonding bill both on the House side and on the Senate side, and Reed crafted those bills for Baker and Lang.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, Commissioner Lemmer.
Okay. If we, and did we pay him, I think you said that we did pay him the $20,000 last year?
I believe that's what we paid him. We can look it up, but I think it was $20,000.
So, and if it was, that was the only year, I would say that would prove a point to him. We paid $20,000 last year, and, you know, it was all vague and stuff, and so we're reducing it to $10,000 this year and want to see results. Whether he would look at it or that firm would look at it that way, but, you know, if... Or does that give him permission not to worry about giving us any for our money?
Yeah. Well, Commissioner Lemire, that's, you know, that's a good point. You know, you negotiate this at a point where they might take your money by not putting any effort into it,
yeah.
too.
But,
yeah, and if we're going to go there, we're better off not going there at all. Yeah.
All right, I'll make the resolution that, as you stated, that going for the $10,000 or not in discussion with them and go with it.
All right, my resolution, is there a second?
I'll second that.
A second. All right, any more discussion?
Clarification. $10,000 weekly updates, and we want them to include the exemptions in the bill. Mm-hmm. That what we're going to, okay. Mm-hmm. And we're not willing to do it for $10,000, we are going to forego his lobbying efforts.
Would Lang and Baker be able to do the exemptions?
Yeah. He said what he said this morning because we talked about that. Lang would lead that and then get the language over to Baker.
Mm-hmm. They just need to know because either they'll work with kind of intra department or with Reed. To get that language.
Yeah, if we're going to go with Reed, then Baker and Lang wouldn't touch it. Then Reed would take care of it, basically. And Reed would work with them to craft that language. Yeah.
All right, I have a resolution and a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none. Beth, roll call.
Commissioner Erickson?
Aye.
Lammer?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
No.
Kennedy?
Aye.
All right, thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. We'll keep you posted. Next meeting, we'll let you know how we turn out here.
Sounds good. All right, moving on to item number 5, review of the 2022 attendance. I won't spend a whole lot of time here. You know, you can kind of look and see a couple of things to point out if you're looking at it. And I know for Commissioner Kadar and Commissioner Kennedy, you're like, hey, I didn't miss and or make any of those earlier meetings. We ran it for the year for that seat, so someone else may have been occupying it. You know, the one thing that I do want to point out is just a reminder of the importance of your presence here. You know, there are certain items based on ordinance and statute that are required to be approved by the commission, and you know, we cannot move forward without it, and we need a quorum. So in the, essentially, you know, like an example, the biggest item is the bills, you know, that it has to be approved by the commission. You know, another big item is that it takes time to understand the utilities, you know, especially if you're new, along with learning how meetings go, approvals, etc., are done in the public sector, and we just need to stay well informed in order to make positive decisions that impact not only WMU but the Wilmer community. And so, just being here, you know, is important just to learn it and get to know the process and what's going on. Yeah, so I'll kind of leave it at that. If anyone has any questions or comments about it, no, but I do thank you all for your, you know, for your service. All right,
Moving on, item number seven, I'll actually turn it over to Commissioner Lahmer. So Carol, you can
take it.
You can handle this one. I'm not going to handle this one.
Been asked and to just make the comment on or to recognize the work that Commissioner Erickson has put in, has attended. As you can see, he's been here just about all the time, and his tenure has taken an active role in some of the things with our associations, and has led us as well in the absence of Commissioner DeBleek. And so to that end, I'm going to give him this plaque, but only if he hits the gavel.
That is not my thing.
Anyways, again, Cole, and I'm going to let them know I am sad about you leaving, but I understand that priorities are priorities.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, so better give it to you so much.
Right. Wait, Cole and Carol, can you get a picture, please?
Pictures.
Yeah. We can get it after the meeting, too, otherwise.
Okay.
Let's see. This way?
Yeah. All right. But let's just hang on here. Just hang on.
Thank you guys so much. Yeah, 3 years, it went by really fast. But yeah, I just want to say thank you to the commission and all the staff for allowing me to be in a part of this, and you know, the community as a whole. I've learned a lot. It's been good, and so yeah, I just really appreciate being able to be here and get to know each and every one of you and work with you. You know what we do, what you guys do here on the commission, and what WMU does for the community specifically is really special. It's a big service, and staff here runs a great, operation, and you know, we wouldn't survive as a community without them. And so, just thank you guys for working hard and diligently, and just putting your hearts into it. Yep, that's it.
Thank you. Very nice.
All right, we'll move on to item number eight, the general manager's report. So,
all right, thank you, Commissioner Erickson. I only have one item under general manager's report. I just want to inform the commission that we have three commissioners' terms that are up. At this point in time, one commissioner has filed back, so we have two commission seats open at this time, and we've been doing a fair amount of outreach. Kevin's been leading that for us. He knows everybody in the community here. We've been striking out, per se. We do have another meeting this afternoon with an individual that has expressed some interest and would like to learn a little bit more about serving on the commission. So, as Beth noted in the email that she pushed out earlier in the week or in the last week, whenever that was, you know, if anybody's aware of somebody that might be of interest, that might want to, you know, be involved in the community, isn't, or is involved in the community, sometimes you look towards the ones that are involved all over, because those are the individuals that will step up to the plate and help fill in here as well. So please encourage anybody that you know to put their name in. The process, Marv is done at the end of the year, so he had indicated early on that he is not going to make any appointments at year end. He's going to leave it all for the mayor-elect. So if we can get names in by the council's first council meeting, well, that was changed. You know what day it is for
January
9th.
Sure?
January 9th. Yeah, that sounds right. So January 9th will be the first council meeting. So if we can have names in a timely manner over to the city for the mayor to move forward, the first council meeting on the 9th, the names will be presented. It will be the second meeting in January when they would make the official appointment. So possible we could have new commissioners by our second meeting in January or the first meeting in February at the earliest. So existing commissioners are able to, entitled to serve until their replacement. So
you'll be back.
All right, that would conclude my us my updates unless there's additional questions. Okay. Then just do a reminder under future meetings before adjournment here that we have our legislative conference coming up in St. Paul, January 24th, 25th. I believe at this time it's Commissioner America, Commissioner DeBeek, and myself that are signed up. Yeah. And then legislative rally that's out in D.C., the APPA. Again, that's more of a legislative trip. Go down and visit with our legislative delegation and talk about our concerns, challenges, issues with current laws that are being considered, things of that nature, and that's in February 27th through March 1st. So, and there too, I believe at this point it's Commissioner Ulmer, Commissioner Blake, and myself that are signed up for that. So,
all right. Anything else to come for the commission today? No, hearing nothing, I'd entertain. So moved.
Second.
All right, and we are adjourned.
Eric.